Welcome to Enduring Words with David Guzik, a daily devotional podcast brought to you by Enduring Word.
Today, I want to speak to you about someone who had a great fall, perhaps the greatest fall of all, and that's the fall of Satan himself. I'm going to read to you from Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, and then the first line of verse 13. Here's how it reads. Isaiah chapter 14, starting at verse 12. "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart," and then the text continues, but let's have some thoughts right now. You see, in the prophets, it's common for God to weave together a closer fulfillment and then a perfect fulfillment in the same word of prophecy. A great example of this is found in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, which speaks of the ministry of the coming Messiah. Jesus quoted this passage in the Nazareth synagogue and described the greatness of his ministry, but he stopped right in the middle of a sentence, in the middle of Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2. Jesus stopped right before saying that he had come to proclaim the day of God's vengeance. That is part of the ministry of the Messiah, but not in his first coming. And in one comma in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2, that one comma stands for thousands of years between an imperfect or a closer fulfillment and a more distant fulfillment. Now, it's the same here in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah spoke to God's people about the menacing king of Babylon, but also about the king of spiritual Babylon, that is Satan and his ultimate doom. As Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 begins, Isaiah sees Satan's fallen already. He says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning." Here, the prophet identifies the king of Babylon as Lucifer, son of the morning. Now, some people debate whether Lucifer here is a name or a title. The word means morning star or day star, referring to a brightly shining object in the heavens. Whether it's a title or a name really makes little difference. This once brightly shining king of Babylon is now fallen from heaven. In this prophetic habit of speaking to both a near and a distant fulfillment, the prophet will sometimes speak more to the near or more to the distant. Here is a good example of Isaiah speaking more to the distant, to the ultimate fulfillment, the perfect fulfillment. Now, it's true that the literal king of Babylon shined brightly among the men of his day, and he fell as hard and as completely as if a man were to fall from heaven. But there was a far more brightly shining being who inhabited heaven, and he fell even more dramatically. That's the king of spiritual Babylon, Satan himself. So, when did Satan fall? In fact, there are four falls of Satan, and this refers to his fourth final fall. First, Satan fell from glorified to profane. That's in Ezekiel chapter 28. This is what Jesus spoke of in Luke chapter 10 when he said that he saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And this is the only fall of Satan that, at least in my view, has already happened. Second, Satan will fall from having access to heaven to being restricted on the earth. That is described in Revelation chapter 12. This will happen during the period of what we call the Great Tribulation on earth that precedes the glorious return of Jesus. Third, Satan will fall from his place on the earth to bondage in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. That's described in Revelation chapter 20. And then also in Revelation chapter 20, we have, as mentioned here in Isaiah chapter 14, Satan will fall from the bottomless pit to the lake of fire, which we commonly know as hell. Now, friends, think of the greatness of Satan's fall. From so high, he was called son of the morning, to so low, how you are cut down to the ground. You see, that title, Son of the Morning, shows how beautiful and shining Satan was at his creation. No wonder Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. No wonder he deceives many people with his apparent glory, beauty, and goodness. Now, why the great fall? Well, look at where it began. It says there, "For you have said in your heart." Here, God tells us the reason behind Satan's fall. It was prompted by something he said, even though he may have never said it with his lips. It was enough that he said it in his heart. Friends, there's a lot of power in what we say in our heart, even if we never express it with our voice. We can have great pride and rebellion in our heart, but never say it out loud. Remember that God cares not only about what we say, but also about what we say in our heart. The voice of our heart shapes us for both time and eternity. Do you need to talk to God about what you say in your heart? Remember that He hears it already. He just wants you to be real about it before Him. Hey, be honest with God about what you say in your heart, and you can be honest with Him today.
Thanks for listening to Enduring Words with David Guzik. For more information about David's ministry, visit enduringword.com.